There are times when professional work can become public in a totally unforeseen way. UH Vice President for Academic Planning and Policy, Risa Dixon, would fall into that category. Her declarations on behalf of students caught in the miasma of President Trump's travel ban were cited by U.S. District Judge Derek Watson in his order to stop it. Judge Watson didn't reference Ms. Dixon's work only once. He did it seven times. His opinion countered the ban on travel to the U.S. by Iranian, Libyan, Somali, Sudanese, Syrian, and Yemeni nationals for 90 days. In granting the temporary stay, he also stopped the federal government from hitting the pause button on refugee resettlement in the U.S. In part, all of that happened because of the work of Risa Dixon, who joins us now. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
Clearly, no one was more surprised than you when you started to get emails from people saying, good job, that's wonderful, and referencing the opinion by Judge Watson and the fact that you were in it. Did you have any inkling at all that all the work that you'd been asked to do by the AG's office in talking about how this would affect the UH system, did you have any inkling at all that this would wind up in the opinion?
No, actually, I didn't. I knew when we were collecting the information and doing the research that that was going to go into part of the argument for why the travel ban was a bad idea for the state of Hawaii or how it would affect us. But I had no idea that my declaration would be referenced. And I was very, very surprised to see my name in there.
And not once, but seven times.
Yeah.
In the declarations that you sent him, in the work that you did, all of that really focused on what would happen if students were not able to come here from other countries or if there were some incidents that would be construed as emergencies and family would have to come here and other reasons that this was a bad idea. What were they?
So for the first declaration, for the first lawsuit, one of our concerns was that we had people on visas who may not be able to move freely because initially with the travel ban, we were seeing people stuck at airports. And so that was one of our concerns because we have not only students but also faculty. And then the concern that students would not be able to come here, students who aren't already here wouldn't be able to come here, wouldn't be able to get visas to come and study, or that, as you said, that family members would not be able to come if the students would need them to be here.
Now that this is out and many people have read it, and it's only about 43 pages or so, but you're in there in the middle part of it, around page 17 or somewhere around there. Are you concerned that President Trump knows your name?
It's crossed my mind, I have to say. But at the same time, if you're in my position, you have to be really agnostic on these kinds of things. So my concern is really with the priorities of the institution, protecting our students, protecting our faculty. So it is a concern that he knows my name. It is a concern that I've made some kind of an impression in a place that may be uncomfortable for me or that I may not really understand. But really, when it comes down to it, my priorities are to protect the institution, to protect our students and our faculty.
And how do you feel protected by the university?
I guess my job protects me, right? That's an interesting question. In my role, this is one of the things that you do in a role such as this.
What has been the response since this is now out and public, aside from the people who you knew who read it early on and sent you emails saying, good job? What has happened for you now that you're more in the public sphere?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people want to talk, and they want to know my opinion, which, as I tell people regularly, I'm pretty agnostic. I can't afford to have an opinion in my role. It's not my job to have an opinion on this. Like I said, it's my role to protect the institution or to do what's best on behalf of the institution. But I find a lot of people stopping me, wanting to talk. People disagree with me. People agree with me. It's interesting because it's not even really me that they're agreeing or disagreeing with. It's the data, right? I'm just presenting data. How many students we have, how many faculty, how many people on visa, how many applications. So I think it's interesting that people have kind of personalized it to the extent that they feel like they're agreeing or disagreeing with me and somehow I'm related to the decision.
Which seems to be in part what we see happening coming from Washington, too, that the inability to look at data for data and depersonalize it also colors the conversation.
I think that's a human thing. I think we all do that. People disagree with us. We tend to take it personally. We tend to attribute their position to them rather than maybe their function, what it is they're trying to do. So that doesn't surprise me because I think that we do that as human beings.
Were you able to make any headway with some of the folks when you said, hey, look, this is just the data. Take a look at it yourself.
So the kinds of conversations I've had really haven't ended up in those places because people were more interested in me knowing their position. So actually, I ran into a tourist who was from Iran, who had lived in Southern California for 40 years, who had to tell me their family story. And so really much more about those kinds of things.
What are some of the stories that you're hearing? What was elicited from other people?
Well, related to the travel ban or just in general?
Well, in general, as now this is out and you're saying that people are stopping you and telling you their stories, are there some good stories in there?
Yeah, so the woman I ran into last weekend who was here on vacation with her family, they've lived in Southern California. She told me her family story of how they got over here, how she was brought over as a child, and her family had a hard time coming over. So it's been interesting to hear those stories. One of the questions I get asked a lot, it seems like when people find out that I've been part of this is, well, why don't these people just be, the people who are already here, why don't they just become American citizens? So I find that an interesting question. Just this sense of, well, if they're here and they're studying, why wouldn't they want to stay? So I think there's always that personal place you're coming from where you don't always put yourself in another person's shoes or perspective.
And understand that perhaps they like living in their country, but they would like to have the freedom to travel and to study in other places, including the United States.
Well, and there are reasons that people would want to come to the United States to travel. We've got wonderful research institutions, particularly Hawaii. We've got wonderful engineering programs. We've got, you know, the best programs in terms of things like ocean sciences and volcanology and all of these natural sciences, plus our other programs. So there are any number of reasons why somebody would want to come study here and then go back either to where they're from or to move to another country.
So now as we're in this place waiting to find out whether this TRO will in fact be made more permanent if the preliminary injunction is granted next week, is there more coming from you? Is there another role for you to play in some of this in talking to both students and possible students and families who are concerned?
So my role is not to really talk to students or families. I've tried really hard to stay out of that. I've just collected the data for the institution on behalf of the institution for whatever the AG's office may need. Should there be families or students who need to talk, I may not even be the right person. I would tell them to go to their campuses. We have offices that deal with that. But in terms of a future role, you know, that remains to be seen.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for coming in today. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
And sometimes surprises
You
they
never
have
know.
Long-reaching consequences.
Yeah.
We'll see about this one. Thank you, Risa. Risa Dixon is the Vice President for Academic Planning and Policy. Her declarations were cited 7 times in the opinion by U.S. District Judge Derek Watson in his order to stop the travel immigration ban. And it may come to pass that ban is made more permanent if a preliminary injunction sought today is granted next week.